That's kind of a creepy show. You know, people are really supposed to be dead on this. This is actually the opposite. This is people being fully alive, trying to do the right things in their life, trying to make the right decisions, but yet they are totally and spiritually dead. So if we can throw up the first slide, Mike, there, and see what we have here. It's characterized by unbelief. Don't believe much in anything, you know. And part of that unbelief, there's different groups of people. One of the groups of people that you'll run into is what we call atheism. You're familiar with that? Atheistic people. They don't believe in a God of any kind or anywhere, doesn't exist. And sometimes they do their own or make their own agenda as well. But I really believe there's a host of people who are atheistic and don't know it. Because if you don't believe in God at all or anything like that, well, you're pretty much atheistic that way. There's also another group called agnostics. These are people who believe that God is unknowable and unknown, but they leave a little bit of opening about believing in God, but that's the way they live. Others are known as complete rebellion toward God and Christ and hostile to Christians. They are the ones who just totally do not believe or want to hear it, even if there was a God. All right, let's go to the next one. There's a group of people that are seeking answers in worldly prestige, power, fame, substance, whatever they can feel to fulfill their life with, they pursue it, and yet always comes up really, really short, never really satisfying. And then there's those who believe he or she could be unlovable enough, knowing that if there was a God, he couldn't love me because I've done so much wrong or it's too late for me. My father was in that boat, in that same situation. For so many years, because of failures of marriages and relationship, he honestly didn't believe God could love him if there was one. Well, hallelujah, at age 55, he came to know Christ as the Savior and Lord. He experienced that love and forgiveness. He ran a butcher shop, and he would cook all the meals for the church. Started singing in the choir. What do you know about that? My dad singing in the choir. We never had a relationship, and that's unfortunate. And when we went to his funeral, it was really strange at first because I told my wife, you know, I don't know this guy. I don't know my father. And it made me sad at first, but then I started thinking, you know what? This is not our home. I will know him in eternity. We will have that awesome relationship and talk about the things of God that we never talked about. But he came to know Christ as the Savior Lord in his late 50s. Now, the scripture, put the scripture back up here. Yeah, you got it. Thank you. It's not on the back screen here, so I can't see that. Sorry. Spiritually dead. Here's what Paul said to new Christians, okay? You were his enemies, separated by him from your evil thoughts and actions. You were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. And Peter, in the book of Peter, chapter 4, this is what he says. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. He wasn't talking about dead people. He was talking about spiritually dead, totally separated from God. And the beauty of watching these people baptized today of all ages and everything like that is that they are no longer spiritually dead. They have come to know Christ as a Savior and Lord. Basically, what they have done, they have confessed their sins to God. They have confessed their lordship to God and believe in their heart that Jesus saves. So they repented by choice and went the other way to follow Christ as Savior and Lord. That is the good news. So, getting out of the spiritually dead, once you have Christ as Savior and your Lord, you move to the next phase in your life, and everybody has been here at one point, called the spiritual infant. I like the little thing up there that no one did. It's pretty cool. But this scripture is for everybody, not at just this point. Like newborn babies, you must crave spiritual milk, so that you will grow into the what? Full experience of salvation. And cry out for this nourishment. To grow in that full. Now, in other words, just becoming a Christian is not what it's all about. And it gets better. It gets better. So here's some characteristics of a spiritual infant. Every new Christian starts out as an infant. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. There is freedom and joy of knowing that every sinful thing that they have done in the past, present, and future is forgiven. And this is a good reminder for all of us. They are no longer spiritually dead. They are no longer enemies of God. And if you have Christ as your Savior and Lord tonight, that's a lot to shout about today. They're excited and eager to learn, but because being a spiritual infant, a spiritual infant does not know everything of what the Bible says about life and the purpose of a believer. And that makes sense, doesn't it? A new believer, even if you've been in church for a while, if you're a new believer in Christ, this is so important to grasp, is that the study and the mentoring needs to take place. We need to have people to help all these new Christians begin their spiritual life and spiritual walk. Okay, let's go ahead and continue. Believes that Christians can make no mistakes. That happens a lot. And when this happens, and I remember this even as a new Christian. Here I am, new in Christ, making a new way, going in a new life, and suddenly I do something that I didn't want to do, but I did it anyway, or I thought it, or acted out on it. It happens over and over again. We think, if we're a Christian, that's not supposed to happen at all. Well, our salvation is a working process. We will never be perfect until we see Jesus Christ face to face. That's exciting. But in the meantime, we continue to grow, so we don't quit. But sometimes the expectations we put on ourselves as new Christians is way too much. And they have a tendency to have a worldly perspective of life with a little bit of truth embedded. Kind of see where that is? So let's go to the next one here. The scripture says, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. So we come up behind them and we ask God to help them. And then through their spiritual walk with the Lord, they determine more what is right. But what happens if they stay here? I have seen this so much. Many of you who have been Christians a while may have seen it as well. They come to know Christ and the Savior. Then poof, in a few weeks, they're gone. Part of it is that they get discouraged. They go back into the same environment. We need to understand this. You come to Christ and there's a newness in life, but then they got their same job, they got these friends, and all of these things that haven't changed yet. It may change, it may not. So we need as a church to be encouraging to these new Christians to stay with God and to mentor them and to help them to grow in their spiritual life. And that's what we want to do. And when you go in your spiritual life, you kind of move to the next phase here. What is called, what we like to call, what I like to call, is a spiritual child. The scripture says, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from our sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. It's that childlike faith. As we turn to Christ, we continue to follow him. That's why they love to hang around Jesus. When you read the stories, the kids just flock to him in childlike faith. And here's some characteristics, and these are not all. This is just kind of an overview here of a spiritual child. I want you, everybody, to think carefully on this. Deepening excitement and reality of Christ in their lives. As they grow, you become more excited what God is doing. Excitement over deep relationship with friends and new people. You will have new friendship, new Christian friends. You will get to know new people. At a cost of maybe not some of your good friends that you have now may not hang with you anymore. They may not hate you, but they don't necessarily like what you're into, and that's okay. More is caught than taught. Amen? More is caught than taught, and when we do that example as Christ in our lives and changing our lives, they see that more than even what we talk about. Becoming more grateful that God changed and transformed their lives. That's something we should all do. Always be more involved in the Bible study, small groups, and worship attendance as well. They get involved. They become active. Okay? Go to the next one. Now, what happens in this stage of life is that believers, new believers, and particularly a child, reach this point of a spiritual child, that feelings become more important than anything else. In other words, I don't feel God today, so something must be wrong with me. Or something may be wrong with God. Or I don't sense his presence. I just don't feel it anymore. And they do these highs and lows. And our Christian walk, people, is more about our faithfulness and following him, God speaking to us, and then it's about feelings and highs and lows. Then they can easily get disillusioned disillusionment as they see other people and other Christians do things that are not quite right, and their high expectation is over an expectation of that, they can come disappointed. They see somebody in spiritual leadership or in the church, could be in the choir, could be a pastor, could be me, anybody, and all of a sudden on the outside you just didn't behave as you would think a Christian should or speak in a manner. And they look at that, have a tendency to look at that, wow, he must not be real at all. You see the point I'm trying to make here? That can happen. And they have some tendencies here too. And I want you to really think hard on this, because this is really important right when we get to this point of our lives here. Have a tendency to minister to others, want a ministry to do ministry, but when the benefits outweigh the cost. Not talking about money here. Talking about time. Oh, I can do this. Man, this is only going to take an hour to do or 2 hours here. Oh, I can do that and I can do this. But everything else that may need to be ministered to, or if I see somebody that needs help in our neighborhood or at work, just don't have time, but maybe later. So that's a tendency to do service, but to get something more out of it. And it makes me feel good anyway. Have a tendency to imitate or mimic other Christians, pick up certain church lingo, actions and stuff, and have a tendency, and I'm saying tendency not all the time, this is a tendency, to not only mimic them, but to listen to more what Christian people say versus what the Word of God says. Does that make sense a little bit? Because we can say a lot, we live in a fallen world, people, and we are broken, we are learning, but not all the stuff we say and do may line up with Scripture, and that's why Paul says all times test everything against the Word of God to be if it's true. Now, he also gives us a little bit of warning here. Hebrews 5:12. You have been believers so long that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again. The basic things about God's Word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. There are some sayings when we get trapped and we don't move our Christian lives any further than where it is. Here's some thoughts that Christians may say. The church is growing. Sunday school is growing. And you've been involved in a long time with a group. And said, I love my Sunday school, my small group. I don't think we need anybody else. I like everybody here, so I really don't want to split. I don't want to do anything like that. And if we do, I may need to go somewhere else. At times, they'll come to worship. Like today's a great turnout today, and usually is. But people, sometimes if we're here, we become so comfortable for where we are. The church is growing and say, man, look at all these people here. I'm kind of getting pushed out. This is too big for me. I don't know if I like this or not. I'm not sure about the worship music today. I'm not sure if they did it this way or that way, it would have been better. I don't know about the pastor anymore. He's just not speaking to me. I'm not being fed. So I'm going to go somewhere else. And what we do, we get on what I like to call the church bus. We get on this church bus, and we all pile on it, and the song comes up, the wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, all through the town. You can tell I got new grandkids, all right? And we get on this church bus, and we're going to Irmo and Ballantyne. We step off, and we do an event here. Hallelujah. We pray for people, minister to people. We do an event here, over here. And then that's it. We get back on the bus. We travel some more, and then we stop the bus and say, hey, we got something going on here at the church. Won't you pile on? Join us. And nobody gets on. We shrug our shoulders and keep traveling. We lose our caring about what people think and how we're actually ministering to. You've heard many times in this worship service by Pastor Johnny and others that what people are wanting is truth. What they're wanting is to see the truth. See it first. See like God working in your life and my life. And if we get stuck here, then we're in trouble. In our country, in our nation, the churches all across all denominations are in its biggest decline in the history of America. This year alone, it's anticipated 900 Baptist churches will close their doors nationwide. 3 weeks ago, I heard on K-Love Radio, a lady got on there and was thanking them for their music and worship because she had just lost her husband, but she also lost her church. She said, my church doors have closed and I got nowhere to go. That breaks my heart. You know why it is? I honestly believe it is. I don't need any stats, because most of God's people are stuck here to here between the spiritual infant and child and don't progress anymore. And then those type of people get in leadership. And then we look at the ways we try to run our church, the way church goes versus seeking God. And then everybody's in a mess. Even our families can get in a mess because we haven't progressed past this point. And that's why I'm doing this little demonstration today, because we can, we all should spur one another to pass this point. So what is it if we grow past this point, which we need to do, and we come up with the spiritual young adult? Kind of looks like me when I was younger, nice and skinny. I didn't have to wear these type shirts anymore. Spiritual young adult. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Well, most of us have. I still do some childish things. But spiritually speaking, we want to grow to a point in Christ. So let's go to the next thing here. Look at about the spiritual adult. I want you to be thinking about your life as we're walking through this. Eager to serve others for their good and what? For the glory of God. Nothing about us. What was that last point about all that the spiritual child? I. It's what? It becomes about me. Children kind of do that anyway, don't naturally? Our children do that. And this is where we move from I to God. Eager to serve for the good and the glory of God, they are zealous for God and have become God-centered, Christ-focused, and Holy Spirit-led. I love this spot. I love God-centered simply means God has created everything. Not only we understand that, but we believe that God is created. He is pure. He is holy. He is just. He is loving. He's forever. He's righteous. He's faithful. God is in the middle. Then it is Christ's focus. Christ says you cannot come to God the Father except what? Except through me, through Jesus Christ. Johnny mentioned, I think last week, that my wife got me this big telescope. It's not that big, but it's not a toy. And it's kind of semi-professional, and it's really cool. A few weeks ago, I was out in the winter skies, and I was looking for the Orion Nebula in the constellation Gemini. And so by following the instructions in all the right settings and focusing on it, I found the Orion Nebula that you cannot see with the eyes or cannot even see with a strong pair of binoculars. It was a big gray gaseous clouds. It's got a dark center in the middle of it, and around it are stars that rotate around each other. Now, you can't see the rotating stars, but they rotate. They're called double stars. When I look at that, I said, if we want to see God clearer, better in our lives, then we got to focus more through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, and do the things He has taught us and live out the way Jesus lived. Then we are Holy Spirit led. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. It's not a guilty conscience. He convicts us of sins. He speaks in all truth. He leads us and guides us. It's that voice in our hearts and mind that we hear of God leading us. And He testifies that Jesus Christ is alive. That is part of the spiritual young adult. Okay, let's go on, Mr. Mike. Intentional about sharing faith. Notice the other two may talk about their faith, how they came to know Christ, and they're excited. But are they intentional in sharing and taking the time of telling somebody their story? The worship choir said, great story. A tragic life doesn't have to be a bad, messed up life. It's just going to be a life without Jesus Christ and God alone. And you die without Christ, there is a heaven and there is a hell. And both are very, very real. Terrible place to be. But because of what Christ has done, they're intentional, become more intentional, and have a mission mindset. They may even think about going on a mission trip or even giving to missions, but in their community and in the country and around the world. Now, they have a tendency to think independently and desire independence. When I wrote that, it didn't come out like I wanted it to say. I didn't have time to change it. Bottom line is that when you're a spiritual young adult, we don't invest in people's lives. We may go with them, but we don't invest our lives because we're not quite ready to yet. Not because we don't want to. The last 3 years, I've been learning how to invest people's lives more since I've been in ministry. I wish I can go back 30, 40 years. I can't. I can't get that back. But I do now, I do fully understand one-on-one or small group or whatever is to invest in people's life, the scriptures and the teaching of the Word of God, so that we can get to a deeper point with God. They also have personal preference without preferences about what takes place in a church and in the life of a church. Okay? Some understanding that may be right or some understandings that may be wrong. Now, here's what a spiritual young adult will say. Some thoughts here. I love my small group. I mean, I love my Bible study. But there's a lot of people that need this. And I want them to benefit. So I don't mind if I need to go somewhere else. If I need to make a change, let's do it. So more people can know God like I know God. They come to church and worship. And they go, whoa, look at all the people in the church. Isn't this awesome? I had to park down in the cemetery on top of somebody. And then I had to walk all the way up the hill to get here in the rain. Hallelujah. See the thought in that, how God has moved the heart of some of the things they say. Another thing they would say is that, I really want to serve God somewhere, but I just don't know where. Can you help me? Do you have some ideas? And then one of the things you'll see them do is invest in people's life as they start caring for them by contacting them when they're not here. Who said in Scripture and in the Word of God that deacons are supposed to contact everybody in the church and be check on them, seeing they're okay? They do that, and that is responsibility. But it's all of our responsibility. I had a young couple come up, about a month ago. I'm not going to tell them their names. So I don't want to embarrass them or anything like that. But a particular individual had not been in church a while and is part of their group. And I told them the situation. And they asked if I had a phone number. I said, no, but I can go get you the phone number. Contact them. Then one of them said, well, they live by us. Why don't we just go by and check on them and say hi? How many of us do that when we leave church or even thinking that way? We're ready to get home and do some other stuff. But just think, if somebody is not here today, maybe God just needs you to swing by and say, how are you doing? Can I pray over you? That's being moving to a spiritual adult. However, because of some of the knowledge lack, they don't, what I call, reproduce disciples. And this is the point I want to get us to today. They don't intentionally work to train each other, which moves us to the last group of people here in our, as far as our spiritual journey goes. And that's being the spiritual parent, spiritual adult. Let's move to that. Here's what it says here. I love this. Solid food is for those who are what? Mature. Who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. What catches your attention in this scripture? Did you notice it says, through training have the skill. How did the early church get training? There was no Jerusalem school of theology or anything like that. There was no seminary of Judea or whatever, you know. There was nothing like that. You know how they did it? Read chapter Acts 4. They continually met. They gave each other what they needed, but they continually met and studied the Word of God. They taught one another. They taught one another is what they did, and that's how they learned. That's how they grew. So go to the next one. Spiritual parent, adult, and the young adult are pretty close to the same. They really are. Depending on, they are dependable, intentional in service to others, self-feeding. What does that mean? And enough, I love that. I guess because I got grandkids, it takes so long before they start self-feeding, then they throw it everywhere. But that's okay. They're starting to self-feed. You are motivated enough to read God's words on your own. You don't need somebody else pushing you along or even helping you. You do that. You make time for that. You read God's word. You pray. And you experience God's presence. So you're self-feeding. And anything else from worship, from church, and other people is extra. Become mission-minded. You really set your mind to go on missions. We got a mission trip going to Cuba. Is that right? And the meeting's next Sunday after this worship service. Well, see, maybe God wants you to take a big step here and at least go to that meeting and see what it involves. Because I tell you, you go on a mission trip, whether if it's in the country or foreign, it will radically change your life. It will help you mature. You're investing in people's lives. We got a mission trip going in August, don't we, Birgit? To Gainesville, Florida. That's just overnight. Friday, come back Saturday. Is that correct? Thursday, Friday. You may have to sleep on the floor or something like that. You may say, I can never do that. You know, well, maybe God wants you to do that. And invest in people's life who are hungry, who need Christ as their Savior and Lord. Spiritual enough to reproduce disciples. Go ahead, because there's something that follows that. helps a younger believer take the next step in his or her development. That is when you know that God is, you're moving to the point of spiritual maturity. Now, if you're in this group or moved at this point, it does not mean you have arrived, and we have arrived, and everybody's going to come to you for all wisdom and knowledge and strength. And no, it just don't happen that way. It never will, really. But what it does mean, you're at a place in life with God that he can take us, you and me, further in our understanding of who he is and what he wants to do, winning people to Christ, baptizing them, and all those different things. Those things become much stronger. Now, let me walk around here. I love these chairs. You should sing in a worship choir, a lot more comfortable in the pews. Now, from the person here, from the spiritual infant to the mature, God does not value one over the other. Everybody is the same. Everybody is the same value. God loves them the same. If there's any difference, God, excuse me, God may be able to use you in ministry and to do different parts of the ministries. Go to the next one. Using godly wisdom in the work of the church, it's what a spiritual adult does as well. And go ahead and go to the next one. And this is what I want us to remember today. So let us stop going over the basic teaching about Christ again and again. Let us go instead and become mature in our understanding. Amen. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. I don't need to say anything about that. That's pretty self-explanatory. Go to the next thing. Our spiritual maturity will have a direct impact on how we lead others spiritually as well. Now, I want to kind of come back to this chair here for a moment here, a group of people about being spiritually dull. I think a lot of times people are afraid to come to Christ or even go to church is out of shame, guilt, and yes, even out of fear. I have heard numerous people say that, man, all the time I go to church, they always talk about something bad you're doing, something wrong that you're doing, and this and that. And I wanted to say that Christ did not come to give or to bring bad news. He did not come to make good bad people good. Jesus Christ came to resurrect the spiritually dead. That's why he came. You know, at Easter, we always focus on the event, but it goes further. Christ came to resurrect the spiritually dead, to come to know him as Savior and Lord, to repent of our sins, and have a love relationship with him, and to worship and walk in his presence. That's why Jesus came. Now, go to the next thing here. In Genesis 1:1, if we are going to start on that track or stay with that on that track of growing spiritually from here to there, we may need to go back to the basics. And here's the basics here. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, what? God. What did God do? God created all things. God is first priority. That's where we need to place it. First priority comes in our personal relationship. In a relationship, that means the confessions of sin. Yes, our sins have been forgiven, but we mess up every day, and we confess that to God, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of those sins. It's the first beginning, the first start of a changed behavior. Then we bless God. How many of us sit down and really, for a few moments, and just worship God, and God, I bless you for your everlasting love. I bless you for your grace. I worship you, God, because you love me so much that if I were to die today, I'd be in your presence. I would not be in hell. Again, those two realities are real. You bless God. You do it through prayer. And you've heard so much about prayer all your lives, but here's something I want you to take home today. Prayer means letting go. When you start praying to God, you let go of yourself. You let go of our pride. You let go of our sin. You let go of anything that we are holding on to, and you let go and let God have it. Then you read God's word. That's a good way to get back. Second thing is with family. We know how important family is, and each one of these could have been a message in itself, but by family, I mean by leading by example. Let your kids see you pray. Let your spouse see you pray. Let them see you read the Word of God. Let them live that out before them. That's what I'm talking about, leading as an example. And secondly, be available to your spouse and your children. When God is first priority, through all the work that you guys got to do, that I got to do, everybody has work schedules, and some are really crazy, and some are outrageous, and some you don't know how you get through. You have working parents, you have working single moms, single dads, and all those things. The key thing, when that work is done, and particularly if you got kids or you're married, your first priority with God is with those who you're with more than anything else. Work at doing those. And then the last one, of course, is the church. Make corporate worship and Bible study with believers a top priority. Saw something on Facebook. You might have seen this. It's about a family who was distraught, wrote an open letter, couldn't understand why their daughter had just left the faith, the church, and just doing another total lifestyle and everything when they grew up in the church. And the reason was this. When sports events was not in place, they were there fairly regularly. But when time came, they were known as once a quarter. They'd been there once a quarter, maybe once every other month. And this went on for years and years and years and years. But even when they weren't there, they took God's word with them. They prayed. They read the word of God and did all this stuff. But as soon as she got it on her own, boom, she was gone. And they couldn't understand what happened. What happened is God was never a first priority. Something else was. Not that what else was is wrong, but when that takes Lord of your life or whatever it is, God comes in second, third, and fourth, and pretty soon it's their faith is not much and doesn't matter anymore. That's why it's important to keep God as first priority in your worship and your Bible study. All right, go to the next thing. The question is, where are you spiritually on your journey? Where are you on your spiritual journey? And you may not know, this was really a lot to kind of throw out today, but you can be anywhere, and it doesn't matter what your age is. Doesn't matter how long you've been coming to church. It's very easy to get stuck right here. And it's also easy to be mature and then, for whatever reason, taking a break or whatever stuff happened, you can tumble back down into some part of the area of your life of this journey. But the idea is to get back up on that journey. Now, what I'd like to do is close with this chair here, as I mentioned earlier. Jesus came so the spiritually dead could be resurrected. I want us to pray for just a moment here. I want you to close your eyes and pray for just a moment and give this some thoughts here. Being spiritually dead only leads to death and self-destruction, either now or later. It always does. If you are here today or this morning and that you find yourself in that area, I just want you to pray a brief prayer right after me. In church, I want you to agree with this in this prayer, because I just got a feeling many, many people may be here. We've seen this wonderful testimony, the baptism of people who have taken that step of faith in their life in all different ages. But there's so much more, and God wants so much more. If you're here this morning and you find yourself, you're doing all things right, but I'm just really spiritually dead, pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, just forgive me for my sins. I believe that you are our Savior. I believe that you are our Lord. And I want you in my heart and in my life. I commit my life to you. I surrender my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you pray that prayer this morning, you are a part of the living God's adopted family, Christians, and you are now a spiritual infant in Christ. The second thing I want us to pray this morning, if you may find you in a place and in your journey where you just didn't know, or maybe on your life journey you want to move on, or maybe you're stuck, would you in your own way pray right now to God to help you move from wherever you are now in your walk and in your life with in your relationship with Christ and with God, and to move it forward? I'm going to ask our instrumentalists to come on up, and we're going to be singing and worshiping. But before we do, I want you to think about something. You and I can make a living by getting something, by working. We can make a living and have satisfactory things in our lives that might bring us joy. But you and I can only have a life by giving away, by giving something away. You can't give away something that you don't have. If you have Jesus Christ in your heart and your life, you can give that way to other people. But if you do not, you can give your heart and Jesus, as we already prayed about, now and at this very moment, to God right now and become a part of the family of God. So when you get prepared to sing, and if you need to come and pray, if you need to come and talk about that more to me, to some of us down here at front, we'd love to talk with you about it. So why don't we all stand? And Mary, as she begins to play, let's worship. How much do you need God this morning?